Well, hello and a very warm welcome to this week's Racing Post Sweet Spots. Is of course PGA Championship, the second major of the year, and it's one of the big ones. And we're of course joined as ever by golf guru Steve Palmer. How are you, Steve? And I'm sure you're excited for a major.
Love a major, Dave. Love a major. Loads of betting opportunities. Let's have it.
Let's have it indeed. And we're of course going to be joined now by Ball Sports' Leon Blanche, who's going to be talking us through the betting insight and some fantastic each-way terms. Now, Leon, this is a big one, the 104th PGA Championships, the second major of the year, and you guys are going all out with the each-way places this year.
Yeah, listen, Dave, we are. We're going 11 places on the main book. I think we're the only bookmaker in the industry offering 11 places, which is a fantastic offer for our customers. We do have alternative place books on the win market only. If you want to back 6, 8, or even 12 places, you can back it with ourselves on that win market only. We've got more in play markets, Dave, than anyone else, including all the major three balls, right up until the last put, hole-by-hole markets, including the hole winner, player hole score, hit a green in regulation, distance from the pin on par 3 shots, number of putts. We've got the fastest play-by-play leaderboard in the industry by some way and live streaming on all par threes. So whatever you need for the USPGA, come across to Boyle Sports and we will have you covered 100%.
And the punters come alive, I'm sure, when that magic word major comes along, right? We're expecting a lot of business.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, when you've got the best product in the industry, you're expecting an awful lot of business, and that's what we have. So for whatever you want, our in-play offering is just fantastic, Dave. We've got thousands of in-play markets. It's an unbelievable offering for our loyal customers and plenty of movers already in the PGA market. Spieth is now 14-1 chance from 20s. Cantlay, 18s from 25s. And Matsuyama is 25s from 33-1. So plenty of action at the moment already. It's only going to get busier in the build-up to the first ball being hit. And a couple of golfers we think that could go well this weekend. Matthew Fitzpatrick, he's a 28-1 chance when you want to go the 11 places. Although he's yet to win on the PGA Tour, his form has been excellent to date. He's had 5 top 10s in 9 starts. He was a decent 14th at the Masters. And while his major record is probably a little bit disappointing, if this comes down to a scrambling test, which this course certainly will, in and around the greens, we think this guy is as good as anyone around them greens to stay in the mix. Corey Connors is a 40-1 chance on the 11 places market. He hasn't missed a cut in 3 months, and he showed plenty of major credentials with a tied 10th in the Masters, his 3rd in a row. He's a ball-striking machine, and we believe he will contend come Sunday. Tony Finau is also a 40-1 chance in 11 places. Although his recent form probably isn't great, he did finish strongly to finish 2nd to John Rahm. Maybe not the most competitive field, but his major record is right up there with the very best, having 9 top 10s since the start of 2018. He was 8th and 4th on his last 2 PGA Championship starts. And a couple of long shots, Dave. Ming Woo Lee at 200-1 in the 11th place market, and Harold Varner at 80-1. We think he got a long-awaited win on the PGA Tour at the Saudi International earlier in the year. Very solid form this year, which includes a 6th at the Players and 3rd in the Heritage. Very respectable 23rd at the Masters, and has made the last 3 cuts at the PGA. So just a couple there from our trading floor who they feel could go well at the USPGA.
Well, good stuff, Leon, and we'll whisper this one quietly, but any word on Mr. Woods? I'm sure he'll be very popular as ever with the punters.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's the biggest name in golf. He's the biggest draw. It's brilliant that he's going to be lining up in the PGA. He's a 50-1 chance in the 11th place market, and I'm sure people are going to have a little punt on him because at those type of odds, I remember, I'm sure Steve would even better than me, but, you know, when Tiger ever in his pomp used to be going for a major, he was never anywhere near a 50-1 chance. He still retains a little bit of the old sparkle, and it'd be a great story, even I think, if he could finish in the top 10. Don't know whether he's got the game right now to win. However, he's such a genius Who knows what's going to happen? But I'm sure he'll be popular at that 5-0, 50-1 with 11 places being offered.
Yeah, I'm not sure the lads in the training office will call it a good story if he ends up in the places, Leon. But luckily, we'll be hearing from his number one fan, Mr. Palmer, very shortly with his selections and his view on this tournament. And very quickly, we've got that sliding scale of places, 11 all the way down to sort of trim off the places, make the prices bigger. But you're also going to enhance Steve Main's selection this week as well.
Yeah, look, whatever Steve tips up to win the USPGA, Boyle Sports will enhance that. So he's got a huge following. And look, this is the name of the game. Give people a little bit of extra value and hopefully some of them can win.
Absolutely. We'll be hoping so as well. Thank you for your time and insight, Leon, and speak to you soon.
Cheers, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, now then, Mr. Palmer, the second major of the year is upon us. Who's coming into this week in good form? Very quickly for us, Steve, what happened last week?
Well, we had a 100-1 winner on the PGA Tour. Kyung-hoon Lee won that one. Not a great one for the punters, even though he's defending champion. He hadn't shown much form. And then Sam Horsfield won the Sudal Open with his girlfriend caddying for him. That was nice to see. They had a lot of fun out there. But yeah, not a great week for the punters. But the USPGA is a fascinating puzzle. Fantastic each-way terms out there. So we dust ourselves down and we go again for a major.
Before we get in, and we I mean, the word on everyone's lips is Spieth coming back to form, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got a lot of Spieth mania generated here. We have to have a big discussion about Jordan Spieth. You know, Spieth fans are, you know, foaming at the mouth with excitement and understandable going for the career Grand Slam, and it's entirely feasible.
No, they've not been foaming at the mouth for a while. Right, let's get into it then, Steve. As I mentioned, second major of the year, 104th PGA Championships. This is one of the big ones. Set the scene for us.
We're at Southern Hills. It can stretch to 7,556 yards past 70. I mean, they'll fiddle with the yardage as the week goes on, depending on the weather, but it can stretch that long. So we've got a long par 70, only two par fives. It hosted majors in the distant past. The last of them was the 2007 USPGA, which was won by Tiger Woods. But the course is a lot different to how it was back then. Jill Hance, very well-respected course designer, he completely redesigned the track in 2019. It used to be really tight, used to have heavy rough around the greens. Now it's much more open. He's cleared out all the trees and no rough around the greens. So I think the biggest challenge for the players this week is on approach. The greens are like upturned saucers. They repel mishit approaches and send them down these sharp slopes. So I think approach play is key. And I think sharp scrambling is important. So we've got loads of breeze in the forecast. Everyone's going to be missing greens. You're going to have to scramble really well to win this.
Steve, just quickly, are you aware of what the 18th's like? I quite enjoyed last week with a par five that's reachable in two. I like that excitement at the end. Are we going to see drama on the 18th?
Well, you're not going to get par five drama. I mean, the two par fives here are massively long. You know, they're three shot holes for most of the field. They're 600 plus. You just got a succession of par fours. So, it's a totally different test to last week. Last week was easy. I mean, you would have made a birdie or two last week, Dave. You know, this week is really, really tough going. It's good. Yeah, very, very contrasting in terms of difficulty. And before we continue, we really have to discuss the possibility. I have to sound the unfortunate klaxon of potential draw bias. You know, punters hate this when they come to a tournament and they're betting, and we're discussing it now before the tee times have been announced. The tee times could be crucial on this because it's going to be very windy on Thursday afternoon. You're going to have a calm Thursday morning, a windy Thursday afternoon. It's going to be really hot on that Thursday afternoon as well. So the Thursday afternoon conditions, really tough, oppressive heat and wind. On Friday morning, it's going to be really windy. And then it tails off a little bit in the Friday afternoon and it's pleasantly cool on Friday afternoon. So as things stand, weather forecasts can change all the time. As things stand, you want an early tee time on Thursday, and we're all desperately waiting for the USGA to release those tee times. I mean, you know, maybe they'll put all the players that have requested a release to play in the Saudi Golf League. Maybe they'll stick all them in the bad side of the draw. That seems a sensible tactic to me. But yeah, tee times, unfortunately, are quite important for this.
Steve, when and where can we find them then? Quickly, the punters out there.
The when, I've no idea. It's infuriating. They just suddenly appear, don't they, on the feeds. But if you keep typing into Google, PGA Championship tee times, PGA Championship tee times. At some point today, they will be released. And as I say, things can change. We don't want to get too hung up on it. You know, it's a bit like the Players' Championship. To remember that, we're all getting very, very concerned about the weather forecast before that. And then it actually flipped the other way come the tournament time, and the advantage was the opposite side of the half of the draw. So let's not get too carried away with it. But yeah, ideally, certainly increased stakes if your players get an early tee time. And you know, amazing stat. I'm going to dazzle you with an amazing stat here, Dave. You know, just on the subject of these, how important these first two rounds could be. There's been 10 significant tournaments at Southern Hills, 7 majors and 2 tour championships. They had the PGA Tour Championship there in the late 90s and one senior PGA Championship last year. So 10 significant events. The 36-hole leader has won all of them. It's an incredible stat, really. So, the first 2 days of this tournament could be all important, particularly if the weather has an impact and potentially, handicaps half the field.
OK, right. So we've talked approach. Who has won? We mentioned Woods won the last PGA Championship here. Who else has got winning form at the track, Steve?
Retief Goosen won the 2001 US Open there. But as I say, massive course changes. I wouldn't put much stock in. Yes, it's distant course form and there's been revision of the track. So, I think we've got to just focus on the here and now.
OK, right. Well, we know that the Spieth fans are foaming at the mouth, as are the punters at the edge of their seats. Who is the Steve Palmer main selection for this year's PGA Championships?
The number one selection is Scottie Scheffler. I see the chef. I can see the chef completing the second leg of the Grand Slam on Sunday. Everyone's getting excited about Jordan Spieth completing the career Grand Slam. You know, maybe the Scheffler can go two legs into a 2022 Grand Slam. I think he should be clear favourite. I think he should be a shorter price than he is. He's undoubtedly the best player in the world at the moment. He's won 4 of his last 7 tournaments as an individual. He struggled to focus in that Zurich Classic alongside Ryan Palmer. That was his first outing after the Masters. Last week, cruised through the Byron Nelson, 4 rounds in the 60s for 15th place. Just had the feel of him ticking that Rolls-Royce engine over, saving himself for the one that matters most. He had a cold putter. But aside from the 13th hole in round 2, he played beautifully last week. He had a triple bogey at the 13th hole in round 2, sliced his drive into the trees, missed a short putt. Generally, though, excellent throughout the week. He was working his ball both ways, you know, with ultra comfort. There are loads of dog legs this week at Southern Hills. You know, that ability to work the ball both ways will stand him in great stead. And his approach play was his strength last week. He was superb on approach. That's the key to success at Southern Hills. And I just think he's going to go up a level. You know, with all due respect to the Zurich Classic and the Byron Nelson, you know, the new Masters champion was always going to find it tough to get fully motivated and focused for those two. He was a bit sloppy on the greens last week, as I say. I think this week, the competitive instinct, major competition, it kicks in. Scheffler right in the zone, and he's teeing up at his favourite golf course. I don't think this can be overplayed. Scheffler's favourite track is Southern Hills. He won a college event there in 2015. He says he loves the course changes. He's been playing there more recently. He loves the changes. They've actually made his favourite course suit him even better by clearing out a lot of the trees. Yeah, it's much, much more room to manoeuvre off the tee now. If Scheffler does have a weakness, it's a little bit of driving inaccuracy occasionally. Yeah, his favourite course suits him even better now. He shot a 64 there in a practice round the other day. Got a lot of headlines, but according to the reports, you know, he didn't hole a putt there. He shot 64, just by hitting everything close. He clearly knows how to play this course. It's only a 4-hour drive from his house. So, yeah, I love this Spieth mania because I think the Spieth mania is taking the heat a little bit off Scheffler, much like it was at the Masters. He went to the Masters as world number one. Everyone was talking about Tiger Woods, and Scheffler enjoyed being a little bit under the radar. And I just want that Spieth mania to build and then take a little bit of the heat off the man who I think is still the man to beat, emphatically the man to beat, and that's Scottie Scheffler.
And Steve, that's not a myth, right? He's actually recently been quoted to say, this is my favourite course.
Yes, yes. He said it in the distant past when he was winning those college events there. And he said it more recently and he's gone back there a lot lately. And he loves the changes. Yeah, he says the greens are very similar to how he remembers them. This is a real affection for the course. The cards are falling right for Scheffler again.
Great stuff. And we, of course, heard from Leon Blanche from Ball Sports. They'll be enhancing the chef, Steve, main pick this week. And, who else is in the team then? Steve, how many of you picked out this week?
We got four. I'll do an understated four as Bruce is not here. I always feel a lot of pressure to do a large one. But yeah, we've got four selections, Dave.
Okay, nice and reserved. Who is second in the team?
Second in the team is Patrick Cantlay, the FedEx Cup champion, the PGA Tour Player of the Year, a six-time PGA Tour champion on his own. And then last time out in the Zurich Classic Pairs event, he won that alongside Xander Schauffele. And Schauffele would be the first to admit that Cantlay was the key to their success there. You know, Cantlay, such a solid player now, no statistical weakness. He's good at everything, mentally stronger than he's ever been at the age of 30. He had two playoff defeats. He's had two playoff defeats this year. One of them came a week before that Zurich Classic, but water off the ducks back to Cantlay, really strong between the ears. The following week in the Zurich Classic, he led that team superbly. He's a cool, calm, calculated character. I think he goes close to a first major title on Sunday. Yeah, this fella's been touted as a major champion since day one. You know, world number one amateur, had a few injury problems, but he's clearly now the complete player. His USPGA record is consistent, 33-27-3, 43-23. And I think it's important to note this is the first USPGA he's teed up in as a Ryder Cup winner. I think, you know, making that Ryder Cup debut is really important, particularly if it goes well. And he made a superb Ryder Cup debut, was unbeaten throughout, easily won his singles match. And I just see it's a natural career progression now for Cantlay to go on and win that first major, like Scheffler did. Scheffler made his Ryder Cup debut. It went fantastically well. And then he won the Masters. I think Cantlay could do a similar thing.
Yeah, solid player. I'm sure he'll be there or thereabouts. Remember, Ball Sports, 11 places in this year's PGA Championships. Right, two old Steve.
Number three is Shane Lowry. I think Shane Lowry will lead the European Challenge this week. He's been in rock solid form all year. You know, people always go on about the luck of the Irish. I mean, Lowry has had no luck this year. He's been luckless. He's been playing fantastic golf, but it's been winless golf so far. He was runner-up in the Honda Classic in February. Really unlucky to get caught in a burst of heavy rain. I don't remember that one, Dave. Burst of heavy rain on the 72nd hole. Made that par five really difficult. And he finished second to Sepp Straka. He went well in the Players' Championship, got a hole-in-one there, finished 13th. Four rounds in the 60s for 12th spot in the Valspar. And then he contended in the Masters. He had a disaster on the fourth hole on the Sunday, a triple bogey on the Sunday. Still managed to finish third in the Masters. Then he was third again in the Heritage following week, beaten by a shot. Lowry's game's just in fantastic nick. He even managed 13th place in the Zurich Classic, with Ian Poulter playing like Ian Plonker. You know, Ian Poulter was carried by Lowry throughout that Zurich Classic. Poulter be the first to admit, Lowry did well to get them to 13th place in that. So he's just not ever playing badly at the moment, Lowry. He's a major champion, of course, and he's going to a track which he should love. Lowry is fourth on the PGA Tour for strokes gained on approach. Really eye-catching stat. His approach play has gone up a level this year. He's always had magic hands. I talk about how everyone's going to be missing greens and needing to scramble well. You know, Lowry's, you know, his peers just worship his ability around the greens. And yeah, it's a bit of wind in the forecast. Again, another positive for Lowry. And his USPGA form from the last four editions, 12-8-66-4. He had a lot of fun in the final round last year with Padraig Harrington, finished fourth in the USPGA. He's won the 2015 WGC at Firestone, a long tree-lined par 70 with a world-class field. He was US Open runner-up in 2016. Easy to forget that one. Open champion in 2019. He can deliver in the biggest events, Shane Lowry.
Okay, very good case made for Shane Lowry. Just quickly, Steve, a point you mentioned there. Are there any players on the tour that you see as a negative when one of your players are paired up with them? You mentioned Ian Plonker. They're your words, not mine.
Well, yeah, I mean, slow players. I mean, if you back a fast player and he's with a slow player, you know, that can be unhelpful. But yeah. I don't want to get too hung up on group dynamics. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Yeah, it was a really amusing tweet that Lowry did after that tournament with Poulter actually. He is carrying Poulter on his shoulders. I think it was from a Ryder Cup or some sort of party. And, you know, he made the point that he was the star man of that partnership. And, Larry's different class to Poulter. And Lowry, you know, you have to massively respect Lowry in majors now. He seems to have gone up a level this year. And he's just been really unlucky. Maybe this week is the time he gets the luck. And I can't see our friends Ball Sports offering too much of an enhanced price on an Irishman there, but let's see how long they last with their enhanced price on that one.
Good
yeah,
stuff.
Lay down the challenge.
The gauntlet. All right, complete the team for us then this week.
And the final one at a much bigger price. The best outsider, in my opinion, is Cameron Young. a rising star of the PGA Tour, tied second in the Genesis Invitation in February, a world-class field, third in the Heritage in April, and second in the Wells Fargo the week before last. You know, clearly, it's only a matter of time before Young becomes a PGA Tour champion. Can his first victory come in a major? It's entirely feasible. It does happen. It happened twice in 2003. I don't know whether you were born then, Dave, long time ago. Ben Curtis. You remember Ben Curtis? He got his first win in the Open Championship. And then Sean McKeel got his first win in the US PGA Championship in the same year. I think Cameron Young is better than those two players. I think Cameron Young's capable of winning majors. He's got loads of power, one of the biggest hitters on the tour. But the rest of his game is improving and getting more polish. He's playing well on all sorts of different kinds of tracks now. Yeah, if he's performing well in the Heritage, yeah, fiddly track that. Yeah, I think he's really coming on. He's won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's a winner. I think he's going to make a really strong USPGA debut. Keegan Bradley won the USPGA on debut in 2011. Colin Morikawa won the USPGA Championship on debut. I think Cameron Young is capable of doing likewise.
A long way down the list there. Big, big price. But we'll come back to Steve's selections for a roundup at the end of the show. But let's touch on some of the big boys then, Steve. Well, John Rahm, of course, is contesting favouritism with the Chef. What are your thoughts on him coming into this?
Yeah, I heard Wayne Riley on Sunday during the Byron Nelson. He was talking about how he thinks Rahm is the man to beat in the USPGA, but I still think Scheffler's not getting the respect he deserves there. You know, they, as you say, they're jostling for favouritism. For me, Scheffler is definitely the favourite. Yeah, Rahm's won nothing but a really low-grade Mexico Open. You know, he fell over the line in Mexico in an absolutely rubbish field. In elite company this year, Rahm's been found wanting. He was tailed off in the Masters. So, yeah, yeah, if Scheffler against Rahm, for me, Scheffler should be emphatically the favourite.
Okay, Rory McIlroy?
Seems bouncy. Yeah, between the ears is very important with this, you know, mercurial talent. I love that word, mercurial. He's bouncy. He's positive. Sorry, I must pronounce my T's. You know, my daughter talks poor because I don't pronounce my T's. He seems positive, which is good. So McIlroy fans can be hopeful. He's a two-time USPGA champion. Obviously, runner-up in the Masters in the last major. Fantastic final round. But, you know, I think approach play is the key this week. Yeah, it's not a McIlroy strength, and I'm never ultra keen on backing him in the wind either. You know, he likes to hit it very high, doesn't he? So, yeah, yeah, not for me.
Okay, two players that showed up okay last week, Morikawa and Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas, I mean, winless for 15 months now. Another great opportunity, went begging on Sunday. You know, on approach play ability, he must be respected this week. But, you know, will the putter let him down again? Probably. I've just lost a bit of faith in Thomas. He gets talked up before the majors and then lets him down. He hasn't contended for a major for donkey's years now. So, I can leave Thomas. And Morikawa, again, approach play. Yeah, very similar players. Thomas and Morikawa, elite approach play. Yeah, probably the two best iron players in the game. But he's going to need to be, isn't he? Because, yeah, with this, there's a consistent breeze all week. Yeah, everyone's going to be missing greens. That's my concern with Morikawa. You know, is he a good enough chipper? That's why I'm ruling him out there.
Okay, and from what we heard from you a little bit earlier on, you're not fancying Mr. Spieth.
I fear Mr. Spieth. I fear him. The price has gone a little bit because of what's happened. He's the talk of the town, isn't he? He's never played a USPGA this close to home. You know, he relished the conditions that he's going to face this week. The putting is the concern for me. The putting and the pressure. Because this is the most elite club in golf. He's thinking of joining here. Yeah, if he completes the career Grand Slam, he goes up miles in terms of stature, legacy. So there's a huge amount of pressure to deal with, and that pressure it will be felt on the greens because his putting. If you look at his putting stats this year, Dave, they're terrible. You know, traditionally a strength.
Yeah.
And the first three rounds last week, everyone was getting very excited, me included, thinking that the putting was coming back. And then on Sunday, he had a three putt from very short range. The putting was back to how it has been, like really frustrating. He's 175th in the putting stats. So I think it's very hard to see Spieth not being in contention. I just wonder whether that putting vulnerability and the sense of occasion will be too much for him. I'm narrowly leaving him out of the staking plan.
Okay, and then I have to get one line from you on Mr. Tiger Woods.
Mr. Tiger Woods, great to see him there again. I think this is a tougher challenge for him. I think this would be a bit of a slog. I mean, he's obviously a month down the line health-wise. But yeah, I think making the cut this time will be an even bigger achievement than the Masters. Making the Masters cut is pretty straightforward. You know, given the amount of ceremonial golfers and this is a much stronger field, much, you know, physically in numbers there's more people there. I hate being negative about Tiger Woods. As you say, I'm his number one fan, but I think he's going to struggle to play four rounds. You know, there's lots of positive chat in the about his practice and that, but yeah, I don't know. He's always very positive, his Tiger. I'm sorry, I don't think he's going to be around for Saturday. We'll see what prices come out on the make the cut, miss the cut market. And there's probably one more player we should discuss, Dave. I don't want to prompt you before we go on, because Victor Hovland has been my long-term fancy for this for a long time. But there's just a couple of things that have put me off about Victor Hovland now. If we were playing in calm conditions, I think he'd have an outstanding chance, because he's playing in his adopted home state of Oklahoma. He knows the course quite well. But this forecast for consistent breeze, like all week we're going to have breeze. Everyone's going to be missing greens. You know, scrambling has become all important. And, Hovland's still got that massive weakness chipping wise. So, he's going to have to, his approach play is fantastic. Tee to green, he's one of the best golfers in the world. You know, he's going to need to be exceptional to avoid having lots of chipping to do. So, the weather forecast put me off. And his Zurich Classic performance put me off. I mean, he was in a supposed dream team with Colin Morikawa for the Zurich Classic, hot favourites for that. They were tailed off in the Zurich Classic. And that was largely Hovland's fault. If you look at what happened, Morikawa played all right, but Hovland was poor. So he's just gone off the ball at the wrong time for me, Hovland. So I'm going to have to leave him out this time, even though he was a long-term fancy.
Okay, right. I'm going to put you right on the spot now, Steve. We've mentioned all the big guns. We've mentioned all the specials out there to miss the cut, etc. Give me a player sort of somewhere near the head of the market that could be a bet to miss the cut.
That is a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. I think maybe Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson has been really struggling to find a driver he likes. I thought he'd have got it sorted out in the lead up to the Masters. And during the Masters, he actually switched drivers during a major championship. After the Masters, it was very much head down to get married. He got married straight after the Masters. He's got back into it. And last week, really unimpressive. He tied for 59th in the Byron Nelson, closed with a 73. It's hard to see Dustin Johnson winning this week. Yeah, I think he probably will make the cut. But if you're asking for a value selection out of the market leaders, I suppose he's the one that you'd lean towards.
Well, as ever, top stuff from Steve there. Remember, Ball Sports playing 11 places this year's PGA Championship. Remind us then, Steve, of your fabulous four.
Scotty Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Shane Lowry and Cameron Young.
Good stuff. Right, no Bruce for the sweet spot, but yourself and Bruce will be back on the Racing Post YouTube channel at 8 p.m. on Sunday night for the live watch-along, and plenty of advice along the way there and a little bit of banter sprinkled in, I'm sure, Steve.
Yeah, it could be a long night. You know, if it goes to a playoff, it's a three-hole playoff and then sudden death. So, I think we'll be looking at a midnight finish there.
You'll be cheering on your selections, no doubt. As I mentioned, there are hundreds and hundreds of specials. Have you got anything lined up for us, like a top tip, any sort of special that catches your eye?
I think Hideki Matsuyama for top Asian is the best of the tops. Alex, a really solid bet. You know, a very weak section this. He closed with a 62 in the Byron Nelson on Sunday. He looks a great fit for this course. I mean, Hideki Matsuyama must be respected in the outright market. He's got a good record in this tournament. You know, he came close to winning the USPGA before he'd won a major. If he gets a chance this time, he's more likely to take it. But yeah, I think the place to back him is in the top Asian market. You could perhaps pay for all your outright bets by backing Matsuyama in the top Asian market.
Good stuff. Plenty of bets to get stuck into this week. Strap those betting boots on. Right, as ever, Steve, thank you for your time and expertise, and good luck this week.
Thanks, Dave. Good luck with the Greyhound Derby. I know you're getting all excited about that. Call Me Steve is going to win that, by the way. 100-1, Call Me Steve. Very fast animal.
Yeah, he's a strong runner. He'll keep qualifying for you. So if you want to play the name game and follow Steve in, I wouldn't put you off that one. The sweet spot will be back next week. We've got the Charles Schwab Challenge and the Dutch Open. Of course, as ever, please do remember to gamble responsibly. And above everything else, enjoy your golf this weekend.